We give you all praise and honor and glory. Father, we acknowledge that you are the faithful God. You are the God who's redeemed us from the curse of the law. You are the God who's made a way for us through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for that great salvation. Lord, may that revelation never grow faint in our hearts and in our minds of how much we have been saved from and how much we have been delivered unto you and brought into your kingdom and into your family. Heavenly Father, we just love you and we thank you so much for this time to come and gather together to worship you, to praise you, to acknowledge who you are. And Father, to receive the teaching and preaching of your word that is alive and powerful, that our hearts and minds may be open to hearing and receiving your word this morning, Father, as your spirit would minister to us, Lord, that we may allow it to continue to change and transform our lives, to be lights for you in this world. We open ourselves this morning, Father, to hear what you would speak to us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are blessed to have our brother here, Dale. Before he comes up, I'm just going to share a brief update on Pastor Bill. He's been dealing with some health things off and on for a while now, as I'm sure many of you know. Unfortunately, there's some things that are known and some things that have not been known. And on this journey, talking even with Donna this morning, it's difficult because when you have a lot of questions, you don't really always know what do you share and what do you not share, and you can't share what you don't know. And so a lot of it has just been praying for their discernment in walking through these details and communication with the doctors and encouragement to their faith. Presently, he is back in the hospital midweek this past week. They have some complications with his dialysis. Again, why? There's a lot of questions. And so they are continuing to move forward as they can relative to praying for wisdom, praying for discernment with Lord. Help us to know what to say yes to. Help us to know what to say no to. Help us to move forward through this. And through it all, Donna was encouraged. A friend she knows but has never met in person, a Facebook friend from somebody who Pastor Bill had met in Haiti, had encouraged her either last night or this morning with just a reminder that even when the giants seem big, just to remember that our God is greater. You know, and when we're facing battles, we don't know how long it's going to take, when the battle will come to an end. We have to just hold fast that it will come to an end. And the thing the Lord put on my heart this morning is relative to how Aaron and Hur were there alongside Moses holding up his arms. They didn't know how long or how short the battle was going to be. They just knew their role was to be a support to Moses because it was his arms for the direction of the Lord that would bring the victory. And they were there to support and encourage and strengthen him. And at this time, that's what our role is to be for one another, but in this specific instance, for our pastor and for his wife, to be as Aaron and Hur were to them, to be an encouragement, to be a support, to hold up their arms, to continue to encourage one another and the work that is before us. So just to encourage you and make you aware of some of those things presently, I want to just pray for Pastor Bill and Donna right now. She is here back serving in the children's ministry. She loves to be here serving in the children's ministry. And I would encourage you to be an encouragement to her. I would also ask you not to overburden her with 1,000 questions. Okay, a way to come alongside her is not with lots more questions, because a lot of them she doesn't know answers to, neither do they. But they are believing for the wisdom of God. There have been lots of testimonies as to how he has brought answers and clarity and direction and discernment along this journey. The issue isn't how long will the journey be. The issue is, are we going to continue to hold fast to the truth until the end? And I believe we all know what Pastor Bill would do. He's been a great example for us in that. So just join together right now in prayer for both of them. Heavenly Father, we continue to join our faith with Pastor Bill and Donna and going through this season of difficulty with health for Pastor Bill's body. Father, we thank you that he is a man who is steadfast on your word. He stays true to the vision and the purpose you've ordained for him for this house. Father, we believe and expect great miracles and signs and wonders and the confirmation of your word to come forth. We stand alongside them as Aaron and Hur. We lift them up in faith, Father. We encourage them. We strengthen them. We believe, Father, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to them at this time. And Father, in their absence, we continue to be steadfast in the work that is before us, the vision you have for Abundant Life Center in this house, to continue to declare the truth of your word, to be a light to the lost, and break forth your word to see those things changed in the lives of those around us. Father, we thank you that we can continue to be an encouragement to one another, and as your Spirit would prompt us moving forward beyond this day, to continue to intercede, praying in the Spirit, praying with wisdom, praying as we can for their wisdom, for their discernment, for their strength, for their encouragement along this journey. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, we are blessed to have our dear brother, Dale Armstrong, with us, president of Armada, fellow minister, and in many ways, very knit in with Pastor Bill and what is going on here at this house as well as CWI. We are blessed to have him here with us. So prepare your hearts to hear and receive what the Lord would share through him this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. Well, we are family, praise the Lord. I don't know, I suppose many of you know, some years ago, Bill asked me to be on the board, so I'm one of you, and that's a burden on my heart to see the church thrive and have revival while you're going through this tough spot. Glory to God. When the cat's away, the mice can play. Boy. We're going to have to pull on you for a little bit this morning. Praise the Lord. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 4. God's got good things for you. And I'm excited. I'm sorry I missed Alan's teaching. I heard he taught on faith. So I'll probably just start where he left off and look at it a different angle. But that'll be good. Amen. We appreciate and so thankful. I got my beautiful wife with me this morning. We're so thankful for your prayers and covering us in the Spirit. This last missions trip I took was 3 months in Ukraine. And as you know, it's a war zone. And whatever you watch on the television, it's worse. And I think we all know we ought to have a healthy dose of suspicion about our media outlets. And we live in a precarious moment in world history, but Jesus said, see to it that your hearts are not troubled. Amen. And one of the easiest ways is to know what God's called you to do. I don't know what Hamas is going to do. I don't know what Israel's going to do. I don't know if Lebanon's going to join in. I don't know if Turkey's going to join in. I don't know if Iran's going to jump on it. I don't know if China's going to jump. So you can paint a pretty dark picture of what we don't know. But I do know what God has spoken to me about what I'm to do. And if I'm busy doing what God told me to do, it really doesn't matter what others are doing. And I think so in the shaking that takes place when we have international events like this, or a great third world that we're in. Don't wait for it to start. It started some time ago. All that shaking goes on and we get disturbed or we are shaken only because we're not firm on doing what God told us to do. Because none of that changes. No matter what happens around you, whether you lose your job or whether you find yourself alone or whether you know the world goes to war, if God told you to do something, I said, if God told you to do something, you really have two options. That's it. Do it. Or come back and say you didn't hear from God in the first place. And go back and get a word from God. Because he has something for you. How many of you know you're not an accident? We're people of purpose. God put us here for a reason. We're a part of a plan. We are heirs of the promises to Abraham. We're of the seed of Abraham. We're here to fulfill his covenant promises that stretch back from the beginning all the way to the end. And I know you read the book, and I know you know we win, so let's act like it. Amen. And that burns in me because I've been tossed to and fro, and I've seen things I wish I could unsee. And I didn't know it could be that way in the natural. But bless God, you don't have to live in the natural. You can live in the Spirit and live in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And see that His wisdom and His hand and His plan, it's there and has been all along. Who could have thunk it? Amen. Well, let's real quick. I want to read some scriptures, and then we'll get into the heart of the matter that I want to share with you. Let's start in Romans 4:13, talking about Abraham. See, God gave a word to Abraham. We're going to go there in Genesis 15. We're going to see what Abraham did with that word and how he missed it and had 12 years of silence. You know, some people, they come to me, they say, well, I don't know. It feels like the Lord's left me. Well, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. So if you feel like God left you, it's because you left Him. You're as close to God as you want to be. And if you want to be closer, edge up to Him. And then He'll edge up to you. Amen. And His fire will burn some of that dross off of you so you can edge up a little bit closer. Hallelujah. And I've just determined I'm going to have a good time this morning, whether you do or not. Glory to God. Amen. And so the promise, verse 13, the promise that he should be heir of the world. See, now underline that. Because one of the things that people say, well, it was part of the mystery, but it really wasn't hidden very well, is that the promise wasn't just for Abraham to have a bunch of kids. The promise wasn't just the Jewish nation. And I'm not going to get off into some of the different teachings on Israel and the church, but the promise was to rule the world. See, this is one of the greatest missionary statements that you'll find in the whole Bible, is that when God said, I've called you to be the father of many nations, and can you count the stars? That's going to be your seed. That's going to be your descendants. Paul puts it pretty firm here, and he says the promise was that he should be the heir of the whole world. Not just a hunk of land out in the Middle East. And that's why with so much authority, and Jesus stood up before he was translated to heaven, and he said, all authority and power has been given unto me. Now you go out into all the world. Amen. See, it was a fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise, because the promise, as Galatians teaches in chapter 3, the promise was made to Abraham and his seed. And Paul goes on in Galatians in great detail and says, isn't it interesting? Because in the Hebrew, you would always say seeds in the plural. But the promise wasn't made to seeds in the plural. The promise was made to seed in the singular. And that seed was Jesus. And the law was simply there to keep things going so that Satan wouldn't win. And until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Well, what was the promise? To be heir of the whole world. See, and that's why the very first temptation that Jesus endured underneath Satan's onslaught while he was out there for 40 days was, bow down and worship me and all the kingdoms of the world. Well, I'm going to give them to you. But Jesus knew that that was a temptation, but it wouldn't have been a temptation, but what he knew, all the kingdoms of the world were coming to him. Yes. And he now had a chance to choose, do I get this through Satan just giving it to me, or do I endure, and do I go through burnout, so to speak? Do I push on? Come on, sometimes obtaining the promises is a fight. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. And Jesus kept his eyes on the promise. And you know what it says in Revelation chapter 1? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of his Christ. See, what Satan tried to dangle out there is, here, Jesus, take it the easy way. And Jesus said no to that. He knew the kingdoms of the world were his. He was the heir of the world. He is the heir of the world. He's the king of... Ooh, glory to God. I wonder who those kings are. real quiet in this Episcopalian church. I don't know when that change was made. But anyhow, have to talk to the board about this. But the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So where Abraham and Jesus was concerned is they're going to have to believe it. It's not through the law, which means it's not through Moses. It's not through the 12 tribes. It's not through those Psalms and Proverbs. It's not through Isaiah. It's not through the law, but it's through faith. Because law works wrath, for where no law is, there's no sin or no transgression. Hold on to me here if this all sounds like it's King James, because it is. But therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure or guaranteed to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, meaning Israelites or Hebrews or Jews by descent or by the flesh, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. That means you. As it is written, and this is what God said to Abraham, I made you a father of many nations. He didn't say, one day you will be. He said, I have made you the father of many nations, standing before him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead. And he calls those things which be not as though they were. He says, light be, and light is. He says, Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. So we can read on. And Paul is glossing over some things that we're going to look at in depth. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The Bible says he didn't consider it. There's certain things you just need to stop considering. Stop thinking about them. Just quit it. Cut it out. And he didn't consider it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Do you want to have strong faith or not? All right, lift your hands. I'll teach you how to have strong faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your promise. I believe what you said to me, Lord. Thank you, Father. See, that's strong faith. You can't praise God in doubt. Smith Wigglesworth said, you can't shout in doubt. Amen. So he gave glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had been promised, or what had he God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it wasn't written for his sakes alone that it was imputed to him. See, that story's not in there just to make Abraham good or great or famous or well-known. No, no, no. Why was it written? It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, righteousness, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, just like it was to Abraham, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Hallelujah. See, I don't know if you know it or not, but Abraham and you have one thing in common. You believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, how did Abraham believe in the resurrection? Because he knew the promise was to the seed. He knew that was going to come through this promise. See, wasn't declared righteous just because he believed God said Sarah to have a baby. That's where people, they don't see far enough down the road. See, Sarah having a baby was necessary. Let me say it this way. There's a whole world of necessary miracles to get you where God wants you to be. But that's not the destination. They're just necessary miracles to get you where you need to be. The very next one, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm too excited. Go to Genesis 15. I'll slow down. Go over with me to Genesis 15. See, God just gave Abraham a promise. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. See, God appeared to Abraham. Abraham didn't go seeking after God. After all, Abraham was an idolater. He was a worshiper of idols. Did you know that? Off back in there in Romans, the Bible says how God will justify the ungodly through faith, talking about Abraham specifically. That word ungodly means an idolater. Well, he came out of a country full of idolatry. He wasn't a holy or a godly man. He was an idolater. And just God just appeared to him and to find somebody that could believe. See, you might be ugly, but you can believe. You might be handsome, but you can believe. Amen. You might be rich, but you can believe. You might be poor, but can you believe? See, faith is the great equal opportunity employer. I couldn't play basketball because I'm vertically challenged, but I can believe. See, faith opens the door for all to receive if you choose to receive, if you choose to believe. Amen. And so the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and said, "Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and thy exceeding great reward." Underline the word reward. See, reward in the Hebrew right here, it literally means I'm your paycheck. Amen. See, God approached Abraham, and the very first thing he said to him was about blessing and prosperity and good things, rewards. I know you're Bible students. Don't you remember Hebrews 11:6? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's going to discipline and punish you and chase you around for the rest of your life with bad things until you straighten up. That's not in your Bible. How come that's what people believe and that's what's preached? Yeah, it's religion. It's the spirit of religion. It's the devil, right? No, we believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Isn't that interesting? Right there, Hebrews 11:6. And if you'll notice it later, you can go back there. He then goes on talking about Abraham. He got that from the verse right here in 15. God is a rewarder. That's the one thing that sets us apart. God is a good God. God's a good God. I don't care what terrible things are going on. If you look hard enough, you'll find some amazingly good things. Amen. I was sharing just over in the corner. The church, we just don't celebrate our victories like we ought to. Amen. I remember when Donald Trump got elected into office, and very shortly thereafter, he saved my grandchildren because he put people in the Supreme Court that'll hold the Constitution together. I mean, I danced in front of the television. I mean, can you imagine if Hillary Clinton had been president? Our grandkids, come on, we'd be the ones running away to Canada. And yet, how quickly we've forgotten. I remember dancing in front of the TV. I told Donald Trump, I voted for you. You did what I asked. Go play golf. I'm happy. You did your job. You saved our country right there. That's before any of the problems started. But we forget. And during his term, we overturned Roe versus Wade. Dear God, and the church praised God for about 2 days, and it was over. I mean, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. Oh, it ain't over. There's still fights to fight, but that was a big victory. Amen. And I'm only talking about politics because it applies to all of us, because we could talk about individual lives. We have some problem come into your life, and all of a sudden, all you're doing is considering that, and life is terrible, and you've forgotten all the good things. I walked into a guy's house one time. The Lord had me, this is way back, oh my, in the 80s. And the Lord, right in my office one day, the Lord said, "I want you to fast." And I said, okay. Well, long before that, he told me, "When I tell you to fast, fast one day. After that one day, seek me. And if I don't tell you to stop, fast three. And so then after 3 days, if I don't tell you to stop, fast seven. After 7 days, if I don't tell you you're done, fast 21. And after 21, if I don't tell you to stop, fast 40. I've never fasted 40. I fasted 21 several times. But I fasted 3 days. I fasted one day. The Lord didn't tell me to stop. So I fasted 3 days. I had no idea what I was fasting for. Just to get close to God. I like that. And on the third day, I got a phone call from a fella. And he says, he was real hesitant. He says, "Are you the fellow on the radio?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, do you believe in casting out devils? Do you believe in the demonic?" And I said, I don't believe in devils. I cast them out. That's what I told him. I believe in God and I cast them out. And I don't. My faith's not in the devil. Amen. Do I know that they exist? Yes. But I believe in Jesus when we cast them out. So he explained that his son, who was 12 years old, had gone in for tonsillitis to have his tonsils removed. They put him out, put him under anesthesia. And when he came out, he was gone in his mind. He couldn't talk in English. All he could do is sit up in bed and howl like a dog or growl at you or bite the sheets. And this had gone on for several weeks. They had him at home. They couldn't deal with him. He would urinate on the furniture, jump up on the couch like a dog. He was just gone. In a couple of days, they were going to have him committed to a psychiatric institution in Warren, Pennsylvania. And so we had one day to go see him. So I took my assistant pastor, David Varian, with me. And we walked in and in a period of 6 or 8 hours, cast 3 demons out of him. And I won't get into all that story. It's a long story. He fell asleep on the couch after we cast that third devil out. The Lord said, "Don't wake him up. Put a blanket on him. He'll wake up in the morning perfectly normal." I told that to the father. That's exactly what happened. He's an elder in a church in Erie, Pennsylvania to this day. The boy actually came down to Lancaster one time to testify. But what I don't like talking about is less than 30 days later, the father quit coming to church. And, so I went to see him and I said, what's wrong? He said, "Well, you know, God doesn't do anything for me lately." I couldn't believe he said it. Hadn't been 30 days. "God hasn't done anything for me lately." I wanted to kick his butt out the door and around the block. You know, you read the book of Psalms, you'll find David praising God for splitting the Red Sea. And David weren't there. You ain't got a reason to rejoice. Just pull out the book of Psalms and start. See, your life's not as bad as you think. Let me drag you over to Ukraine. You know, you're upset because you don't have a nice house. I'll take you over and you can meet train stations full of people that ain't got houses because they've been blown up. They don't have cities. Their city's gone. And all of a sudden, that just does something with your priorities. And you begin to think, "I got clothes. Glory to God, I got clothes." Touch your clothes. You got clothes. Hallelujah. You got a nice shirt. Glory to God, I like that shirt. Amen. You don't have shoes, though. I saw you barefoot up. Oh, you got them over here. He's on holy ground. Amen. Rejoice in what you have. Say, "Well, I don't like things the way they're going." Well, then shut up or change them. Amen. You got the Ever Ready Bunny this morning. Praise the Lord. So God told Abraham, "I will be your shield. I'm going to protect you." And shield's a whole lot more than protection. It's shelter. It's like the coming under the wing, you know. A shield is also a symbol, a signet. It's like I'm now, you're in my kingdom. I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm your paycheck. Not your job, not your circumstances, not your church, not your family, not your political party, not your country. Where's your faith? Amen. It's in the Lord. And Abraham believed God. And that at that moment now, nothing else, nothing's happened. God counted him righteous. But then let's just remember a little bit about Abraham. Because he wasn't as great as everybody wants to think. He goes and tries out to make it happen himself. Anybody in here, are you familiar with the word flesh? Anybody in here ain't got it? I doubt it. Amen? I don't know about you, but if I don't shower mine in about 3 days, it stinks. Flesh is universal. Oh, that I can go 3 days? Yours is one?
Well, your nose works better than mine. Or you eat more garlic, one or the other. But flesh is universal, and Abraham had flesh. And I like the Bible's honesty. You know? Because you can talk to certain people and they think, you know, like Kenneth Copeland's perfect. Probably his shoes never wear out because his feet don't touch the ground. You know, and then I meet somebody that's, you know, real close to him and realize, he just like me. He got flesh just like me. That don't degrade him. That just upgrades Jesus. We're all dependent on who he is, right? And I think so. Here's Abraham. We've got this idea of how great Abraham is, but let's remember, just like Peter walking on the water and Peter got wet, Abraham walked in the flesh, went off and had sex with his servant, and as screwy as it is, his wife promoted it. What kind of household's that? Come on. And that's what God chose to use? So I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care how goofy you are. There's still hope for you. Amen. Some of you sitting there saying, how'd a guy like him get in a pulpit? Well, that should give you hope. Terry and I started pastoring. I was 20 years old. I remember this old fella. He was in his 70s. And I was still religious and shook everybody's hand. Well, when you're 20, 70's old. Pop, the older I get, the younger you look. For sure. And so I'm shaking everybody's hand, and this old man grabs my hand, you know, and shakes it, and he says, it must be God. It must be God. I said, what's that? He says, it must be God, because a 20-year-old pipsqueak like you couldn't preach like that. He walked away, and I'm thinking, was that a compliment or an insult? I'm not sure I don't know what that was. But it's Jesus, right? And so Abraham, he messed up. And for 12 years, God don't talk to him. Silence. Radio silence for 12 years. Until Ishmael's bar mitzvah, whatever you call it. Till Ishmael became a man. And all of a sudden, see, Abraham had to pay the consequences. See, people don't like this, but sin does have consequence. And you know, somebody said, well, yeah, but God forgives. Well, sure he does. But if you're a little girl and you sin and get pregnant, God will forgive you and make that baby the greatest blessing in your life. But it's still a consequence. Sure is quiet in this Episcopalian church. See, because all it does is proves the one thing Paul emphasizes. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not just about the sin part. It's about falling short of the glory of God. Your life's not been perfect. My life's not been perfect. Your life's not been perfect. You say, yeah, but I screwed it up. It could have been this way. It could have been that way. You think it got caught God by surprise? God knew what a screw up you were going to be. And he knew where you'd be when you stopped screwing up so he could hook up and keep going. Amen. Amen. He's just bigger enough to do that. Thank God. And so after Ishmael was raised and the responsibilities were over, in our society, it's 18 years, by the way. Yes. Yeah. So after that, God pays him another visit and comes right back to the promise, what I promised you. See, this is where we get the principle. Whenever you get off track and you know you are, go back to the last thing God told you to do. Dust it off. But you know, a lot of people have forgotten what God told them. So you got some homework while I'm ministering. I'd like you to get out. I see you got notebooks. I don't want you to leave here without 1, 2, 3. I know, I'll stake my life on it, that God has spoken to you at least 3 things about your life. I want you to write them down. Come on, get your notebooks out. You don't have to do it instantly, but before you leave here, you better have 3 of them on there. Because Abraham believed God of the word that God gave him. Have you been believing the word that God gave you? See, if Abraham hadn't followed it through, the seed couldn't have been born. Amen. He considered not his own body. And so Isaac was born. But then, and we don't have time, or I'd take you there. It's good to go through. I think it's Genesis, is it 22, where God wakes him up and says, now let's go have a barbecue. Take your son, your only son. Doesn't that sound familiar? Take your son, your only son. Doesn't that sound like John 3:16? Your only son. Take your only son. And let's go up on this mountain and worship. And offer him there. Stick a knife in his heart and burn his carcass to ash. Offer him there as a sacrifice. See, Abraham came out of idolatry. God was pushing it right through him. And Abraham got up immediately. And went out in instant obedience, which means a lot with God. Instantly obey. When God tells you to do something, do it. Because you don't want to give the devil 24 hours to talk you out of it. You know what I'm saying? God says, give your guitar to this fella or something like that, you know? And you say, well, I'll see him on Thursday. Yeah, and by Thursday, you've already talked yourself out that he's already got six guitars. He don't need a seventh. And am I the only one that's got flesh? Maybe none of you in here have flesh or know at all what I'm talking about. But when God tells you to do something, you do it. So Abraham's, he takes his servants and his son Isaac, and they hoof it up to this particular mountain. By the way, that mountain was Golgotha. And they go over there, and Abraham says, now you guys stay behind. You don't want too many witnesses when you cap somebody. You never know what you might learn in church. Anyhow, so Abraham goes up on the mountain and he says, me and the lad, we're going to go up and worship and we will return. Whew. There's a lot of faith in that statement. By the way, that's the first mention of worship in the Bible. You know the law of first mention? Any subject you study, find out where it's first mentioned, because there'll be a seed kernel of great truth there. That was worship. I don't think it was a music band. I don't think it was, oh, the blood, although the blood was there, right? So Abraham and Isaac go up to worship, and we know the story. And Abraham is ready to plunge the knife. And Hebrews 11, I think it's around verse 19, tells us that Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead and received him in a figure. In other words, Abraham knew this boy, if he dies, the only way that this is going to work is God's going to have to raise him from the dead. Otherwise, God's a liar. See, God has told me two contradicting things. He told me this boy is the seed, the heir, the promise runs through him, but now I got to kill him. A plus B equals C. C must be God's going to raise him from the ashes. See, Abraham exercised faith in resurrection right there. And the angel says, now I know. Now I know. Hold your hand, hold your hand. Now I know. And now I know the Father's committed to offering up his son Jesus. But he also knows a man's faith is enough to raise the dead. See, if Abraham's faith was sufficient to raise the dead, Jesus' faith could raise himself from the dead too. And in fact, that's exactly what Jesus said. This commandment have I received of my Father. I have my life, I will lay it down, and I will take it up again. See, man's faith is enough to raise the dead. Glory to God. Now, So Abraham worshiped God through faith, see, because he believed that what God told him had to happen, would happen, and he relied upon it with a future perspective, a perspective of the future. See, Jesus said about Abraham, Abraham saw my day and was glad. You know, one scripture that I love is when Joseph is old. See, he died and they carried his bones out. You remember that? He told them, you carry my bones out. But do you know when in that, and that's in Hebrews as well. But he's commanding them, don't forget to take my bones out. And in the actual Greek, it says, and Joseph remembering the future. Isn't that a wild? He remembered the future. Hey, take my bones with you. Because he remembered the future. Maybe you need to remember the future. What's God said to you? See, God said some things to Abraham, and he just held on to him. He failed. I don't mean to be convicting. I don't mean to be condescending, and I don't mean to condemn you. But more likely, what God told you to do, you've already screwed it up. Maybe not. Maybe you were born of a virgin too, but probably not. God tells you things and you screw them up. You like Moses. God told Moses knew he was going to deliver Israel from the Egyptians, so let's go out and kill a couple Egyptians and hide them in the sand. Didn't work out real well for him. 40 years later, now he's usable. And God says, come on, let's take a walk. Let's go back to the original purpose. Let's bring these people out. Moses is like, well, but who am I? Well, you're somebody I can use now. Because it took 40 years to knock the pride out of you. Boy, you were a hard one to knock around, but finally, you're the most humble man on the planet. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Like I said, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm not trying to convict you. I'm not trying to be condescending, but God's spoken to you, and we all mess it up. See, we've all sinned, but we've all fallen short of the glory too. And that falling short of the glory is something we don't have a real good handle on. Listen, the Bible tells us, thank God, he restores what the locust has eaten. Yes. Yeah, but I just ruined everything. Join the club. Abraham ruined everything. But God redeemed it. Amen? And it comes out good. Read the end of the book. So you get three things that God's spoken to you, and you write them down, and let's just ask yourself, do you really believe it? And you need to come back to it. You need to recognize what's involved with it. Faith's involved. Obedience is involved. Sacrifice is involved. You can go read Hebrews 11. You'll find all the many different aspects of faith, like turning a diamond. Obedience is there. Choosing heaven over earth. Most people choose heaven over hell. Abraham chose heaven over earth. Intimacy with God is there. Enoch just decided to take a walk and never came back. When's the last time you took an intimate walk with God about what he's called you to? Now, please do come back. Maybe not. Or not. That wouldn't be a bad way to go. Amen. But you read through all of this, you realize each one of them were different individuals dealing with what God had said to them. God spoke to Noah, just like he spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Joseph, just like he spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Moses. And Moses said, I'm not going to enjoy the temporal pleasures of earth. I'm going to keep my eyes on the eternal things. Boy, that's faith. See, every one of those that are in the hall of faith, and Paul goes on and says, time would fail for me to talk about all of them. But that's what I want to talk about, this hall of faith. Because I don't care what's going on in the world. What I care about is, are you doing what God called you to do? I don't care what the economy's doing. I want to know, are you doing what God called you to do? Because he didn't ask you to do it so long as the interest rate stayed under, 9%. He didn't call you to do it so long as, a hamburger $22 for a hamburger in a restaurant. I was at McDonald's, a little fish fillet is $10 in Chicago. You know the little tiny fish fillet? $10. All I can think is of what my wife keeps saying. Thank God we got money to buy it. Glory to God. Thank God we got money to buy it. Hallelujah. See, God has said things to us, and if we're honest, we let them slip. Take out, like, be like Indiana Jones and get that little archaeologist brush out. And go back to your notebooks and go back to your Bible. Somewhere scrawled on the edge of your Bible, probably got some tear stains on it. Probably the paper's a little bit wilted. You know, go back and brush some of that off. What did God say? And be honest enough to know what Abraham knew. Hebrews says these all died in faith, not having received it. Abraham saw Jesus day, but he never walked in it. Abraham saw the children of Israel being delivered out of Egypt, but that was 430 years in the future. Joseph saw the, and he remembered the future. See, it's not necessarily always going to be about you. You got a part to play, but sometimes you focus on that, and that turns in spirals into a certain amount of self-pride also. Where do I fit in? You know, well, you do fit in. Don't worry about that. But get over yourself. Just get over yourself. You know, and be happy. Yeah, well, my life's just not amounted to much. You blind liar. You're in the United States of America. You got a cell phone. You got a closet full of so many clothes. But you're saying, well, I just haven't reached my dreams. Well, maybe they were unexpected or unrealistic. Maybe the point is you haven't rejoiced in what you have and where you have it. We'll close in Hebrews 11:6 where we started. Let's go there and read it just so we have it in front of us. God dealt with me on this years ago because I thought I knew faith. I'm still studying faith. I had a young man come up to me yesterday and say, I believe I have a definition of faith. What do you think? And he gave me his definition, and I said, you don't want to know really what I think. I said, but you want to take that and go back to the Bible. See, you can't change the Bible to what you think. You better change to what the Bible says. Because what I think isn't necessarily always right. Sometimes you're right, right? I mean, when you know you're right, stand on it. But when you know you're right, it's because the Bible's there. I'm not right because I'm so wise or smart. No, I'm right because this is what the Word says. And so the best definition of faith is here in Hebrews 11:1. But look back at verse 6, because God showed me I didn't know what this verse was saying. And he said, why don't you come over to my side? I said, what do you mean to your side? He said, why do you always look at it as how does God see things? When are you going to start seeing it the way I see it? And I'm like, help me, Lord. I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. I don't see what you're seeing. And the Lord brought me to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the Lord said, how come you're pleased without it? I'm just going to pause in case you hadn't noticed. See, God's not pleased without faith, but I'll make do without it. Come on, let's not lie about ourselves. 99% of us are these roller coaster Christians, and we don't use our faith until we're in trouble. It's just true. I'm sorry. I'm right in there with you. When I get hit with symptoms, I'm a man of faith. You know, or when the bill comes in that I wasn't expecting, oh Lord God. You know, your faith. I'm a man of faith. But what's about in the middle? How come God is not pleased by anything? Without faith, it's impossible. Say impossible. to please him without faith. But I'm pleased generally most of the time without it. And so God says, why don't you come over to my side? Okay, well, Lord, now I'm never going to be pleased again with anything that's out of faith. Okay, what'd I tell you to do? Now you're locked in. He tell you to raise your kids, draw a box around it, because it's going to take a lot of faith in this generation. Yeah, but that isn't big enough. Oh, for crying out loud, that's bigger than... It's pretty big for them kids. Right? See, that's the point. All these things come in, try to pull you off of it. Like you got to have something more grand. Because you're not content where you are or who you are. See, what's God told you? And if you can get three down, because I know he's told you at least that many, you might want to examine the priority of those three. Because one day, and the older you get, the more you realize the futility of life and the vanity of life, as Solomon called it, and the brevity of life, as James talks about. How many years, Pop? Huh? How old are you? 95. It seems like a puff of smoke. And you know what that means? Is we're all going to be in front of Jesus, which is going to be cool. See, there's another realm. You know, we're so focused on life. But Abraham saw a city whose builder and maker was God. It's called the New Jerusalem. I mean, when you get right down to it, Abraham, because of one promise, saw all of it. Well, you're a part of that all of it, and with one promise that God's given you, you partake of all of it and the share. But you got to recognize it's by faith. And then when you do, because that's what the nature of faith, you don't consider anything else that's going on. You don't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. You don't consider the deadness, you know, of your own body. He's 100 years old. He's 5 years older than Pop. Maybe Pop ought to have some kids. plant a new idea in his head. Glory to God. I asked Terry the other day, let's have some more. It was awful quiet in the house for a while. I think she said, you go right ahead. Now we understand how Abraham got in trouble. He did went and had more after Sarah died. He wasn't done yet. I know how to use this faith business. They're fighting them right now. You're right. Hallelujah. I got the theologian on the back seat. I got to keep him happy. It keeps me in line. Y'all know how blessed you are. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. But you're not without faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. All right. I want you to get this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Quit thinking about faith in general with the Bible and begin to think about Abraham, because that's what he was referring to. What word did Abraham have? He only had one. He didn't have 66 books. He had one promise. And that's what God was talking about. Abraham believed what God told Abraham about Abraham's purpose and who he was. Now, what has God told you about your purpose and who you are? That's where you need the most faith. How dare you die and kick off and leave this earth without having fulfilled that? And when you have, hey, jump for the stars, because it's time. What has God said to you? But without faith, it's impossible to please. Move the Bible out and realize Abraham had faith in what God said to him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, when God tells you something, faith comes by hearing. 2014, the Spirit of God spoke to me in the middle of the night, go to Kiev and speak to the president. Sounds really weird. I had a hard time. I had to walk down the stairs and tell two pastors, one that I had just met as he was waiting. I had never met him before. I had to go tell a stranger to his face, please forgive me, release me. I said I'd come to your church and preach in your Bible school, but God told me to go to Kiev and speak. I felt like an idiot. What's going on right there? Do I really believe what God said to me? What's God said to you? I know he's, and you better have something written down when you leave here, because then you'll be in disobedience if you don't. Because I know he's spoken to you. Resurrect it. Well, I thought it was over. No, you thought you screwed it up. God doesn't say anything with a shelf life. God's words aren't milk used before. There's no expiration. God tells you you're a preacher, you're a preacher. God tells you you're to go in business and prosper and fund the gospel and start orphanages. Get busy. Because we've all had that demand, you have to put it on yourself. That's what faith is. And faith comes by hearing that word. I'm not talking about, and here's where we get into error. Some of you can go to your notebooks and you got 800 words. Because you visited three prophets. It got really quiet in here. But out of those 800, if you're honest, you can sift them. Because you know what confirms that's in your spirit. And quite honestly, God doesn't like somebody coming in between his love. It's what God speaks to you that'll carry you through, not what somebody gives me an encouraging word. It blesses me, helps me along my way. But I don't usually guide my life by that. Because I'm in love with him, and he and I, there's nothing in between us. I don't pray to Mary. You follow me? I'm trying to not hurt somebody's feelings here. I believe in personal prophecy. I minister in the prophetic gift many times. You know, I called people out of a congregation prophetically, but I still expect them to hear from God. So what are those things? And today, as you stand up with me right now, let's release our faith. See, if you thought it was over, have faith like Abraham to raise the dead. I didn't have time to emphasize that part, so let me just put this to you. Every vision generally dies before it will arise. You can look all through the Bible. Rees Howells taught us this. There's a principle of death. What God wants is resurrection life. I mentioned Moses. He's one good example, all right? He knew what God called him to do. But just like Abraham, he messed it up. He ended up becoming a murderer. Look at David, his life full of so many victories and failures. See, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us have a perfect life. We've never gone from A to B without detours. Amen? I'm not trying to set you up for failure and tell you to go out and fail, but I am trying to say there's a lot of people who feel like they've missed it so much, it's somebody else's job now. Well, I'm responsible for what he told me to do, and you're responsible for what he told you to do. You got to believe in resurrection life. That mess we've made of our life, God can breathe on it, and those dry bones can live. Amen? So where you've missed it, just it's easy. Forgive me, Father. I've sinned. Restore me back to righteousness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Lord, help me walk in the light. You know, I've ignored the light. You told me this, you told me that. I've walked away from it. I'm not walking away anymore. Lord, help me to understand your ways. I'm sticking with you. And I'm not going to be pleased with anything except that direction you told me to go in. See, now that's what faith becomes. I'm not pleased with going that way and using my faith to get a new car. I want to go this way and use my faith to get everybody a car. You know, because it's going to be more prosperous to do what he called me to do, not out on myself, my flesh. I feel like I should preach 2 or 3 more hours to explain this. Did you get it? You got something in your heart? That you can pray effectively and never be the same?
Yes.
All right, lift your hands up. Talk to God. Don't talk to me. I'm not your Savior. Start praying right now. Repent where you missed it. Repent where the glory has been broken. Repent where you've done shame to the church, to the name of Jesus, where you've been a bad witness to unbelievers around you, where you didn't pursue, where you didn't fulfill. Repent where you haven't had a spirit of thankfulness or gratefulness. Let's just get back to like innocence before the Father, ready to do what he's asked us to do. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. I know what you told me to do. I know what you said. Lord, I want to faithfully walk it out and nothing else be in the way and considering nothing else, considering nothing in the flesh, Lord. I don't know how, and that don't matter. Because you know how, and you're the only one that matters. You can make it happen, Father. You can supply every need. You can pay every bill. You can cross every T, dot every I. I know you. There's no one like you, Lord. No one can thread the needle like you, Jesus. You're the best businessman I ever met. Father, I thank you that what you've called me to do, it will be fulfilled. And all of this, Lord, is so simple because it simply means that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe he's alive and that you raised him from the dead. And I believe that you're a rewarder because I diligently seek you. See, you went off to listening to me, didn't you? Come on, pray yourself. Lift your hands up and pray yourself. I can't pray your prayer. I can't make your consecration. I can't make your dedication. Only you can. Only you can. Nobody's listening to you. Nobody's listening to their neighbor. You're not listening to your neighbor. You talk to the Father. He wants to hear from you, and he wants to bless you. And Lord, while they're praying, I thank you for your spirit falling upon every person in this great place. Lord, that you wash away all care, all worry, all grief, all the questions out the door. Lord, that you move by your spirit in revival. You move by bringing fresh springs of living water into the church in the name of Jesus. We bless you for it. This is the house of God. This is where love reigns. This is where Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We bless you, Father. We thank you. All oppression is broken off of the lives of the people of God. We thank you. You're a rewarder. You're our paycheck. All debts are canceled in Jesus' name. Abundance and no lack. Bills in the businesses, they're all paid. The stacks of invoices, paid in full in the name of Jesus. All stress out of the marriage, out of the home. I thank you and honor you for it, Lord. Oh, Ramalakaita Rado Sohota, Ebramalahandere Behestisi Caro, More Basta Sheheti Arando Koho. Glory to God. We give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now do this. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to obey what God told me to do. Say it a little bit louder with some authority, like pretend that you mean it. I'm going to obey what God told me to do. I'm going to obey and do what God told me to do. Amen. Well, Terry and I love you. Jesus loves you. One way we love God's by loving one another. So turn around, greet somebody, hug somebody's neck. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can close, I guess. Class dismissed. This has got a school included, right?
Well, we thank Dale and Terry for coming again and ministering here and being here a part of Abundant Life Center. Let's not be content without faith. Amen. Yep, as he said, there's things. It's interesting, 23 years ago to the month, first time I met this gentleman here at this school, church. And I vowed never to. Those of you who don't know, and I vowed never to come back. Because of my flesh. Praise God. If we get more hold of him than our flesh, he'll help us move us forward. And he helps each one of us, gives us purpose and direction. Amen.
Lift your hands.
Yeah, I wasn't so keen on that 23 years ago. Praise God. And the Lord's called each of you here. He's called each of you to a plan and purpose for his life. We got to stay the course, trusting in him. Remember, every next step of faith, of obedience, will require greater faith than every previous step. And that only means one thing. It means greater things are in store for us. That means greater things are ahead of us of what God is going to do than just what he has done. So that's an exciting thing to remember. So there's a basket in the back just to be a blessing and sow into the ministry of the Lord has called Dale and Terry to right now with Armada, what they're doing. You can sow into that, make checks out to by the Life Center, and we will get those over then to Dale and Armada and what they're doing there. Continue to lift up Pastor Bill and Donna and seeing them through. And if you've been here and heard Pastor Bill share, he still has vision and purpose for his life. And based on what we just heard, boy, we got to hold fast to that. Not only for him, but for ourselves and for one another. That's the body of Christ. Fulfill all that God's called us to do.